Welcome, everyone. How are you guys doing? Good. How is it? How is it out there? Is everybody okay? Is everybody? Is anybody affected by it here, or not so much? So. All right. Well, one of the things we do believe, I mentioned this last time. I think it was last week. Maybe we mentioned it that when it comes to our own problems. Right, when we go through challenges, we have to get excited about them. We have to not run to be reactive in terms of a solution. We have to become like the Creator. When it comes to other people's problems, all of that goes out the window. When it comes to other people's problems, we have to have compassion. We have to send them energy. We have to pray that they have a solution immediately. Because when you send someone energy, you're acting like God. When you're begging for your problems to go away, you're not acting like God. You're basically saying, I want to skirt away from responsibility. So it's two different realms. So when other people are going through challenges, it says that as long as you see it or it comes in your vicinity, the Creator wants you in some way to give it energy. It could be just a moment to think about it, to pray for it, maybe to do something more. For everyone, it's different. So in general, that's how we need to view other people's problems and the world's problems. We are responsible because all our souls are connected. And in general, the more we care about other people, we build protection for ourselves. So I wanted to just start with that. Now, tonight, we are going to have a dynamic Q&A session. Are you guys excited about that? It's dynamic Q&A. And this isn't just like any Q&A. I want you to be comfortable to ask whatever you want. If it's doubts you have, issues you have that you haven't discussed, whatever, obviously in the frame of being helpful, in the frame of building, not destroying, of course. But feel free to express yourselves, ask your questions. Let's just be more relaxed with the way we approach tonight's class. Now, the way we're going to do it, we do need to have some structure. I want, as a table, as a group, each group to come up with one or two questions that represent your group. So discuss whatever you want to know. Each person shares whatever they want to know. And then come up with a couple questions that represent you. I'll take all the questions. We'll answer them one by one. And then you can ask questions in between as we go along. All right? Does that sound good? You can ask about relationships, about our last topic, or anything we've learned so far in Kabbalah 1 and 2. I'll give you a couple minutes. Go for it. All right. Are you guys ready? I heard some amazing questions, just some previews. So let's get the mics. Let's also make sure our cell phones are turned off. All right. All right. So where do we got? So let's see. Where should we start with? Energetically, where should we start with? Alex, which table should we start with? Not including yours. Gabe's table? All right, let's bring the mic over to Gabe's table. Whoever's going to speak into the mic like you mean it. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Omri.
All right.
One of our questions was, how does a person get over death?
Okay.
That's the second question.
All right, just keep asking.
You want me to ask my question? Okay. I was trying to share and ask the other person's question. We wanted further explanation or detail on the souls coming into your current partner, your soulmate coming into your current partner.
Okay, so you're saying you're with someone, you do spiritual work, and then you swap souls. You get another soul into the person you're with, which is your soulmate.
Yes, we wanted to understand how that works a little more.
Wait, how does it come and go exactly?
Oh, yeah, you had Will.
Oh, okay. Okay, I guess I'm okay. Hi, I'm Will. And we were wondering on top of that, you know, what if you're with an abusive partner, and how does that relate? You know, somebody who's like, oh, well, I can change them. I can, my soulmate will go into this person if I just work hard enough. And you know, how does that relate to that okay. situation? All right, here you go.
Okay. All right. Great. I like it. Thank you. Anything else? I'm not going to answer it right away.
Our second question then was, how does a person get over death when your soulmate dies? If your work is to be, if your work can't be completed without your soulmate, then if your soulmate passes away, you know, what okay. are you left with?
All right, so let's just start discussing that now. I'll start by saying we should remove our fixation with being with our soulmate. Because here's the thing. If we're so fixated on it, we're gonna sabotage it. We have to think a little bit bigger. What's bigger than worrying all day long about whether I'm gonna find someone, if I'm with that person, what if I'm not with that person, when should I move on? What's a bigger desire? Be with the, I don't hear many people always tell me, I'm so worried that I'm not going to find the most powerful relationship with the light of the Creator. It's like not a worry in people's minds. They're not thinking about it, right? So what I can tell you is, if you aim high, aim for you becoming like the Creator. Make that your focus. Day in and day out, take responsibility for the fears, the anxieties, the stress. Perfect your thoughts, even at a basic level. Even if we weren't learning Kabbalah, just by transforming yourself, do you know how pleasant you will be in the eyes of anyone you date? You will be pleasant. You will be charming. You will be a delight. A delight. How do you grow your desire? What?
To
want to
transform.
Okay, this is a question I heard many times to many different groups. How do you grow desire? Raise your hand if this has something to do with part of your question. Raise your hand. All right? You guys had something. So desire comes from, you tell me, what affects your desire? What do you think is the number one thing that affects your desire? The Kabbalists say there are three things that will shape your desire. What do you think they are? Yeah. Okay, your zodiac sign, that's like a starting point, right? So based on your astrological sign, your soul is telling you, based on the sign it was born through, that this is who you are. Now, what will affect it now that you're born? Okay, so you're saying pain will affect desire. That is accurate. Your environment is number one out of three. Very good. The environment is considered to be what? Your family, friends, who you hang out with. Somebody sent me this amazing quote this week. I don't know who it was from, but he said that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It's a very Kabbalistic way of looking at it, and that's accurate. So the number one way to understand or to connect to a higher desire is, what is your work environment like? What are your friends like? Who do you, even when you're looking to go out on a date, what are you looking for? Really, what are you looking for? If you're looking for good character traits, good those spiritual traits, that's what you will attract, and that's who you will become. You know, when we study in Kabbalah, one of the things that we often focus on that the teachers talk about is we can teach wisdom all day long. That's amazing. But we also have to create a community of spiritual people. That's why we have groups and we have mentors. And even if people listen to this class from all around the world or whatever it is, you have to find a mini community of spiritually minded people. And how do you find that? Desire. If you want to be friends with spiritual people, people who are more positive, people who have more certainty, people who are looking to take responsibility, you will find them. You just have to want that. You have to ask the Creator that it will come to you. That's number one. Number two, a mentor. I suggest to everyone to have a mentor, to have a work mentor, to have a spiritual mentor, to have someone that you look up to in every field in life. I personally have someone that I'll go to if it's for relationship advice. I have another person I'll go to if it's for parenting advice. I have another person I'll go to if it's for business advice. I have valued since day one for myself on my spiritual path, since I was a teenager, to find people who know more than me, who have accomplished more than me, who have a higher frequency than me, who have a higher consciousness than me, and to attach myself to them. The Kabbalists say you should do everything in your power to be around them, to learn and extract their good qualities, ignore their bad qualities. Don't fall into that. But to find a way to connect with a mentor. That's number two. Number three is the wisdom and the study that you put into your consciousness. That includes what you allow your eyes to look at or see on a daily basis. Now, if you had to make a list of what your day looks like, what you look at with your eyes, what you listen to with your ears, what do you think is the majority percentage of what goes into your system, into your temple? This is your temple right here. Your consciousness will determine your entire life. What do you allow to go in there? Even when I go watch the news or I listen to something, I personally am trying to be careful not to get into the trap of getting sucked in to 20, 30 minutes of totally wasting my time and looking at utter nonsense and things that don't raise my consciousness at all. Have you ever noticed that in your own life? Where you'll do something and after 20 minutes you just feel drained and you feel reactive and you don't feel inspired and you don't feel uplifted? So in today's society, it's a little more confusing because content is hitting us every second. When I started studying Kabbalah 18 years ago, I now realized there were no cell phones back then. There was no content hitting me. There was no internet really even. It was just whatever I chose to connect with. Today, it's almost like we don't have a choice. It's hitting us. So we have to be a little more aware. Satan is very powerful in our time today. What are you going to absorb? If you absorb positive, proactive things, it will awaken that within you. If you I was speaking to somebody else about it just today. I said that the first 2 to 3 hours of my day personally is just listening to proactive, positive, uplifting things and doing positive, proactive things. I don't even start my day, my work day. I don't start the battle. Because once you go to work, it's like a battle, right? It's like, it's war. I don't go to war until I do at least 2 to 3 hours of preparing my mind by only connecting to positive things. I even try to leave my house as soon as possible to not, because it's a battlefield. Even the house is a battlefield, right? If you have family, kids, things going on, business, everything becomes a test. You need time in the morning to prepare for your test. I wake up, take 5 minutes, wash my hands, wash my face, wash myself. I turn on a class immediately by one of my teachers, my colleagues. I hit a class, it's playing in the background. It's going into my brain. It's going into my subconscious for the whole day, and I think about it the whole day. If I go to exercise, I'm listening to something uplifting and proactive. That's what I want my essence to be. And I know sometimes personally when I go to environments where I'm around people who don't have consciousness or it's a reactive environment, I find that I myself will get reactive. I'll get weak. I think, wait, I don't want to feel this way. So I have to then surround myself and again plug in back to a good source. So these are the secrets. And no one's going to do it for you, by the way. You have to do it for yourself. You have to choose to create a routine that works for you. Something that works for you. Download books, download audio. Doesn't just have to be Kabbalah content, even though Kabbalah is powerful and it is a light that enters the soul directly. Anything that is positive, start to connect to it. Okay? How do you even have a desire? I mean, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And, you know, start with something you would like to do. You know, at some point people say, well, I don't have a desire to do anything. So you know what I say? I say, enjoy yourself. I'm going to go now. And they go, no, wait. I say, oh, all of a sudden you have a desire. So at some point you have to ask yourself if you want to. If you don't want to, the universe has its ways of awakening us. But this is the positive step we can take. It's not going to always feel good. The first step doesn't feel good. But once you break through the first step, then the light helps you. Okay? All right. Let's go. You know what? I want to hear some of your guys' questions. What do you guys have? Who is your spokesperson? Aaron, just be the spokesperson. Go for it.
Oh, boy. Where should we begin? Okay. We wanted to have some clarification about how to use the tools we've talked about in this class towards partner selection in context of romantic relationships. One selection criteria being astrology.
So what is it? If no one here is married.
Correct. So
besides yourself.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're still single, you still got time. Can you talk a little bit about partner selection? Because I think a lot of the focus has been on once you are partnered, how to manage the energy in the most optimal way. But what about like the selection process? Like how much?
Okay. What do you guys think? For those of us who are in long-term relationships, how did it happen? Did it happen because you were very smart and you just devised a plan and you seek them out and you grabbed them and you made it work? How did it happen? If you really think about it, how did it happen? Gabe's answer is by being close to the light, right? So I can tell you just from personal experience, if it's myself, students, when you meet someone, that's the creator arranging the match. You don't have free will of who you meet. There's a moment that the creator makes the match. It says that a person who really desires to reach their highest levels will often meet the person who is opposite of them. It says the soulmate can often be someone who is opposite in qualities to you. That you are two opposite extremes in many areas, especially involving your own tikkun. One person will be very calm and relaxed all the time. The other person will be more aggressive and more intense. Have you realized that yet? Sometimes? Yes or no? Someone will be very go-getter, and the other person will be like, oh, what's the big deal? Just let it happen. Someone will be more like detail-oriented about every little thing being perfect in the house and this way and that way. Another person, not so much. Who's right and who's wrong? What we know is each one of them needs the positive qualities of the other. Remember, the purpose of a relationship is to reach the highest version of yourself, to tap into your greatest qualities, and to cleanse out your worst ones. This will give you the greatest pleasure known to man. This will give you peace, serenity, success, financial success, everything when you reach your highest self. The best way to get to your highest self is to find a partner and together achieve unity and love. How do you achieve that unity and love? Each one of you will show the other what's wrong with the other. They will be mirrors to each other. They will awaken each other's weaknesses. You then have to realize, wait a minute, what's my goal? My goal is to be with the creator. A relationship is a triangle. Person A, person B, and the creator. It's a triangular relationship. I am with you to be close to the creator. You are with me to be close to the creator. Together we have this common goal. When you upset me, or when I see something I don't like, this is a sign for me to change myself, to strengthen my certainty in the Creator, to pray to the Creator to help me, and to pray to the Creator to help you. If you look at a relationship that way, you will achieve peace, marital peace, partnership peace. And if you're successful in your relationship, in the upper spiritual world, this is the highest level of achievement. What's the reward? The Kabbalists say a person who is successful in his or her partnership, that energy trickles everywhere. You will have great children who will be inspiring, who will be healthy. You will have financial success, real success, and you will experience the success. You will have peace of mind, you will have wisdom, you will have everything. It starts with the partnership. You'd be shocked to realize most people don't value their relationship in the context of their lives. If I had to ask you to prioritize everything in your life, how would you prioritize it? Would you put your children in front of your marriage? Who has children here? Raise your hand. Who's more important? You're married? Who's more important, your children or your husband? It should be my husband. You know how many times I've heard that answer? Because they know where I'm going. They say it should be the husband, but it's the children. What can you give your children if you don't have complete love and unity on the highest levels with your husband? In fact, where do you think Satan is going to disturb you? The relationship with your kids or the relationship with your husband? Satan knows if he can disturb your relationship with your spouse, the kids are done. What's the worst thing for a child to see? Just the fighting, the lack of unity, the separation. That destroys the child. If the mother and father are the source of energy, all Satan has to do is disturb the source, the energy falls flat. Then the kid wants stability on a spiritual level, so he starts looking for other things. He doesn't trust the parents anymore. The best thing parents can do is to be united, to love each other. Behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. It's not like we fight with closed doors. Because the child is receiving your spiritual DNA every moment, whether he sees you or hears you or doesn't. Investing in your relationship is also the secret of how to turn around your business, how to become truly successful financially. Some people who have issues in business and they can't take off, I say, well, let's look at your relationship. Like, what does that have to do with my, help me with my career. Don't worry about my marriage. I'm doing okay there. No, not doing okay. Oftentimes you meet people and you ask them, how's the marriage? And they go, oh, it's amazing. We've never been better. I go, well, that's nice. And then I go to the other person. I say, how is it? And she's like, I'm about to bolt. So what's going on here? It's a little miscommunication going on. How can one person think it's amazing and the other person not want to be in it? How is that possible? What's going on with this person who thinks it's amazing? Are they aware? Why aren't they aware? Why don't they feel? Why don't they see? When do we have a psychic sense about people? Do you know how to read people's minds? It's to care about them. When you care about someone, you can read their minds. And you know exactly what they're thinking and feeling when you care about someone. So how can someone not know what's happening with their spouse or their partner? They don't care in the highest of levels. So they don't have a psychic ability. Right? Oftentimes parents can have a psychic sense about their children because they care about them. So if there's one thing that we learn from the relationship class is to make the partnership number one. And to know that oftentimes you're going to meet your opposite. You're going to meet your opposite. You know, personally, when I got married, it's a funny story because someone asked me this question. They said, look, you know, you always talked about soulmates being opposites, but you and your wife are identical because astrologically we're identical, right? So astrologically we were born in the same time, same year, just a couple hours apart, different parts of the world. So I'm 2 hours older than my wife. So we have the exact same chart, which means we are the same person. And when we were dating, we realized, wow, we are the same person. We love the same things, we hate the same things, we have the same goals, we have the same passions and same ambitions. And then when we got married, we still saw that, but then we saw how different we are. We're like opposites. I'm extreme in one area, she's extreme in another area. I care about certain things, she doesn't care about them. She cares about certain things, I don't care. And we saw, wow, this could be a problem. And the truth is, without spirituality, I thought to myself, how do two people actually come together? Like, if I think I'm right and she thinks she's right, what's gonna happen? So what happened was, wait a minute, what's the common goal? I wanna be like the light. So I'm gonna ask her to help me with every quality she can to help me be like the creator. If that's my goal, then it's okay if someone tells you something you don't like to hear or someone mirrors something you don't like to see. So no matter who you're going to be with, you should prepare for this one thing. They will be an opposite to you. And that is to show you what you can elevate. It's exciting. You should be excited about it and don't be stubborn. Be flexible. Don't take things personally and remember the goal. The goal is be like the Creator. Thank you. This relationship is challenging because I'm going to be like the Creator. That's exciting. If you're focused on, oh, but is it my soulmate? Is it not? You'll be disappointed and confused. Make it about the light and you'll always have clarity. So how do you choose a partner? You don't choose your partner. You choose your spiritual work. The one thing I can tell you is if you do your spiritual work and you break your biggest fears and your addictions, you know what your addictions are. Do you know what your addictions are, ladies? Do you know the one thing that if you didn't get it, you would go crazy? You have to work on that now. You have to work on whatever it is. If you go crazy when you don't get love, you have to start learning how to be independent. If you go crazy when you get criticized, you have to develop a thicker skin. If you go crazy when, you know, you don't get your way or you need to be controlling, then you need to practice letting go of control for 40 days straight. You need to do that. Now, forget about the... It actually could be a waste of time to look for your partner. Yes, you need to make an effort, but break your blockages, break your negativity, break your traits. You should not be controlled by anything. Not one thing. If you see something that's controlling you, pause everything else you're doing and work on it. Work on it every day till you break it in half, till you remove it, till you tear it asunder, and you will see that you get closer to your relationship. Get excited about that. Get really, really excited about that. All right? You have a question? Yes, please. You got the microphone here still?
I have two questions. So my name is Erica. What my question is sometimes I see that people found their soulmate and they didn't do the spiritual work, or like they didn't let go of all the control, but they still found their soulmate.
Right.
Like even when I think about my parents, like I think they're really true soulmates and they love each other so much, but I don't think that they did any work to find.
To get there, right.
So.
You think they did no work to get there?
Yeah, because I think they were so young and they dealt with a lot of things like through their marriage, but I don't think they did spiritual work to meet their soulmate.
It's true.
And so that's where I'm confused.
So one answer could be that every generation is different, and a lot of these souls could be older souls that did a lot of work prior life and then can only work on their tikkun when they're together, right? But let me tell you, they worked on a lot of tikkun once they got married, right?
Yeah.
They worked on some difficult stuff when they got married, right?
Yes.
Now, have you dated men before you're going to get married? Have you dated people?
Yes, I hope I'm dating people, so that I hope.
You are dating, right? So really, you're dating the same thing your parents did. You're experiencing the same challenges dating a man that they experienced just once they got married.
Oh.
You understand?
Yeah.
So everyone will have to experience challenges. Now, listen, all of us right now could get married tomorrow to somebody if we really wanted. If it was about getting married, we could all do that tomorrow. Our definition, our culture of getting married is just different than what it was 50, 60 years ago. Right? So just because you got married doesn't mean you found the one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So today's culture is you date, you get to know them, but a lot of challenges come up in that space. And you have to deal with it in a spiritual way. Okay. You know, your parents also dealt with it in the best way they knew how. But now we have better tools today than probably anyone's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we also have more chaos and more negativity and more temptation than we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true? Yeah, Satan is very strong today. Very strong today. Good question.
Thank you.
Good question.
And another question that I have is how do you cleanse yourself from the tikkuns of others that you've been with?
Okay, let's take it one step at a time here. Let's go back to what I said before. Whatever you've accumulated from other people, don't worry about how you got it, how you're going to cleanse it, you know, blaming them for it. I would start tomorrow and just start, just go after your fears. Just go tomorrow, just like make it your number one priority. Like tomorrow morning, break, like do something the opposite of anything you've ever done. And you'll cleanse everything. Everything will be gone if you start being the light tomorrow. And don't add to the tikkun. Don't engage in relationships that will add to your karma. And you know what I mean by that. All right. We'll just leave it at that. Okay, we have some clapping by our committee backstage. All right, you want to ask your question? Go for it.
Hi, my name is Elena. We have two questions. First one, we discussed about being in a relationship, learning, doing our tikkun, but and about breaking the relationship. What if it's one partner is given by the bread of shame, the other one is clearly receiving, and everything was exercised to save the marriage, so there is nothing left, right? I don't think we discussed last week the part of bread of shame, right? So it's about my family, so that's why.
Are you talking about a romantic relationship or your
no,
family?
No, it's a marriage. Like in my family, I can do it in a short way. Like my husband lost job like 10 years ago, so I'm supporting him. But it's a clear, like he's getting upset. The question is, he is sick now. So now he has a disease which will develop like 10, 20 years. It's Parkinson's disease,
and you're
right?
Still married to him.
I'm still married. It's a, there is nothing left, and everything was exercised from my side. So, but if I break relationship, first, there is a guilt. Second, the main thing is I would not finish my tikkun, right? If I break relationship.
No.
Yeah.
No. What do you want to do?
No, I do want to get divorced, and I'm just living with a person with a human dignity, just like helping person. But, I
okay,
do.
Okay, so why can you still help him and not
I don't
be
think. I think it's destroying both of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's it. If you feel it's not helping you or him grow,
mm-hmm.
So what else is there?
Nothing. So, but how about my tikkun in the relationship?
What is your tikkun in the relationship?
Maybe it was to know how to confront and break it, I hope.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so you answered your own question.
Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah.
It's often more simple than we think it is. And right. Oftentimes we stay in things longer than we need to. Now, if you're still not sure, you can ask the Creator and do more spiritual work. Right? Well, when we're not clear about things, we just need to keep asking and keep developing our spirituality and we'll get clarity. Right. But it sounds like, and I could hear it from your voice from the beginning, that you already got to that place of clarity. You were just afraid that maybe, you know, you'd be missing out on something spiritually by leaving.
Right. Yeah.
Don't worry. If you feel your intention is to leave because it is the way to reveal light, the light will guide you. Even if you made the wrong decision, the fact that you're coming from the right place, the Creator will guide you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Right, great question. Yes. You have a follow-up at this table?
Hi, I'm Sylvie. I'm asking this question for a friend.
a friend at the table?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's interested to know, I hope I get this right, how to, let's see, what's that about? Okay, there, sex in a marriage.
Yeah.
She's wondering how it's not receiving or reactive because you're taking in pleasure. So,
wait, how sex in marriage is not receiving or selfish? Okay, so the question is, rephrase the question.
Yeah.
Rephrase the
question.
Okay,
restrictions. Okay.
Maybe that person just wants to ask it.
I would like that, but
basically the question the question was about restrictions in the sex, right? Sex is act of giving, but do we have to practice restriction in a marriage during intercourse or so?
Okay.
That part. Is it needed or no?
Is this the question people want answered? Do you know what the question? All right, so let's learn some consciousness about sex in any relationship. Number one, what hurts the sex life? Let's start with that. What removes passion from the sex life? What do you think? getting to know each other. All right, let's put that one aside for a moment. Well, one's in a mood, one's not in a mood. So this is already to the effect stage. On a cause level, the Zohar shares that one of the main reasons why there isn't compatibility or desire or passion is because one of the partners is channeling their energy elsewhere. Okay? So what do we mean by that? What are some examples of channeling the energy elsewhere? It could be that one of the partners is flirting or gaining sexual energy from somebody else, somebody at work, somebody that they're friends with. And it can be very innocent, like there's nothing physical going on, but there is a transfer of pleasure, of banter, right? And what that does is it drains the man or the woman of their sexual power, because they're basically giving it away to someone else. A second one can be pornography. Pornography, it can be the opponent's way, again, to divert the attention. There's a lot of literature about this, which we're not going to get into, but it is a reactive form of channeling energy elsewhere. So what happens is in the relationship itself, it becomes a problem. I've seen it many times. I often get to observe from afar what happens in scenarios without being able to get involved. So I've seen couples have a very good relationship and everything's good. And I'm watching from afar another gentleman come and banter with this woman who's happily married and have a relationship. And then I watch her also kind of enjoy this new male energy that came into her life. Then a couple weeks later, it's not surprising to me when I see that they're having issues with each other and fighting. Now, they don't know why they're fighting. All of a sudden, they're just angry at each other, or they're just not clicking anymore. And she doesn't realize that it's because she started to give 10% of her energy to this guy. So the marriage is so powerful, any relationship is so powerful, that when you make a decision to commit yourself to someone, there are new rules at play. And if you bend those rules, you're just going to feel chaos. So if you are committing yourself to a relationship, just know what the rules are. The rules are you have to make that your priority. You have to be careful that no one else disturbs that relationship in any way. You can't be channeling your energy other places. That means other people, pornography, masturbation, all those things which people are like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's all about energy. It's not about good or bad. We're not talking about what's good or bad. In Kabbalah, we don't discuss good or bad. We talk about light and vessel. We all want to build a vessel and have the light come in. But if I'm a vessel, I'm having other lights come in, so I don't have room for the light of my husband or the light of my wife or the light of my partner. This is not easy, but it is part of being a spiritual human being, and it will make you happy. When you cut out the extracurricular energies that you have, you will see how much you enjoy your relationship. You will start to have a new respect for the person. You will start to appreciate the person. You will start to see the light in them. So it's not that people get to know each other in marriages, by the way. It's that when people often get close to each other and feel like this is kind of boring now, then they look for other energies. And it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. All right? So to make it positive, what are the rules behind sex? This is the pre-rules. This is like, bless you. It's like the spiritual foreplay. To make passion exist between two people, you have to make sure that you're not giving your energy elsewhere. Now, with sex itself, this is for a whole nother class. But the one thing I would say is if the person is not focused on their own selfish desires, and they make it about not just the other person, but about bringing light to the world, because it's the one act that brings light to the world. You can actually meditate on any area of your life or other people's lives that need energy. It's like you're drawing an atomic amount of energy, and you can send it out. If you're just sending it to yourself, so that's what creates the short circuit. It's a high, and then it's a low. Everything in Kabbalah needs to be about ABG, always be giving, always be giving. How can I be a channel? That's what's going to make you immortal spiritually. That's what immortality is when you're giving. As soon as you're taking, it's death. It connects to the energy of death. Okay? More details requires a full seminar. Okay? All right, great. Let's go. Did we get a question from you guys? You got it answered already? All right. Regarding the desire, it was answered. Did we hit every table?
No.
You haven't? Okay, go for it.
Hi, I'm Alex, and we have two questions. Question number one is, what if you're constantly in relationships, but you're never happy? Like, you're never fulfilled or truly satisfied with these relationships. So, like, being in a relationship isn't a problem, it's just not being happy or fulfilled through them.
Tell me more. There's a little more to it than just how, what if I'm not happy in a relationship. Let's get a little more juicy.
For me personally?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel like that question relates to me, though.
What question does relate to you?
Right this second, I'm drawing a blank. I don't have.
What's the main challenge you have in relationships?
Giving 100% of my attention and my energy, like what you just described.
You give it. You can't. It's hard for you to give it all to one place.
Exactly.
Why?
Because I always think of what if there's something better?
So if you give it to one place, what does that mean? That you're denying every other possible opportunity?
I feel that way, yeah.
Everyone understands? So we think we should hedge our bets. I'll give 80% to this nice person that I'm with, and I'll reserve 20% just in case something else comes along. And I'll be alert and aware in case that happens, right? What's the problem with this logic? What do we know about the light? The light is 80%, 40%, 100%. The light is 100%, right? So if Alex tells himself, from now on, my only logic about life is I'm going to be the light. All right, I'm with this person now, and I'm not sure they're my soulmate. I'm not sure I even want to be in this relationship forever. But how will I ever know? How will I know if this is the person? And how will I guarantee that I finish my tikkun with this person? Maybe you're only going to be with that person for 1 month. So how can you guarantee that you'll get clarity about them, number one, and number two, that you finish your correction with them? Everyone understands the question? The answer is very simple. You have to be 100%. Being 100% with someone doesn't mean that you have to spend 100 years with them. It just means it's you being the light for that month, that week, that year. And being 100% will force you to deal with fears, deal with certain lack you have, deal with certain pain you have. But by doing it, you will finish your tikkun with that woman and either be shown if you were supposed to be with her for the rest of your life or somebody else. But if you're hedging your bets and you're trying to play God, 80% here, 5% there, 6% here, 9% there, basically, you're telling God's saying, oh, you don't want me to be involved? All right, let me know when you want me to come help you. And I can only come when you act like me, which is 100%. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to manipulate life or are we going to invite the creator in? You can't have both. It's your ego or it's the creator. You got to choose. The problem is when we think we're smart or we're good looking, or we have options, those people have the hardest tikkuns. Oftentimes, if you have no gifts, no brilliance, no good looks, you'll just be 100%. That's the problem. So every gift has its curse as well, has its satan. So, and I remember having someone told me, you know, I'm with someone 2 years, I don't know if it's the right one, you know, but I need clarity. So then I go to her and I say, what do you feel? He's like, oh, I just feel like, you know, he doesn't give me his full heart. His heart's not open. So I go back to him. I said, why aren't you opening your heart? He said, because I told you, I don't know if she's the one. And I don't want to commit opening my heart to someone that I don't think I'm going to be with the rest of my life. I said, that's not how it works. Open your heart, go all the way, and then you'll know. So he opens his heart. He shares all these things that he didn't share with anybody else. He becomes vulnerable to her. And then they both realize after 5 days that they shouldn't be together. That was it. But on good terms. It was like amazing. Like she learned about him. He learned about her. They became friends and that was it. But that dance would have ensued for another 2-3 years if he didn't go all the way. Do you understand? Satan makes you think if you go all the way, you're committed. No, quite the opposite. You're only committed to the light when you go all the way. You may then have freedom 2 days later. Just go all the way with everything. With your job too. If you're not sure about your career and you're kind of like in between and you're not sure, is this right or is that right? Because you're not going all the way. Go all the way in this job you hate and you'll be shown the job you love. But we're also afraid to go all the way. Like we only have a certain amount of energy and once we lose it, we die. You know? Don't be afraid. You have endless energy. Go all the way. Yeah.
Hi. Let's say I'm willing to go all the way, but we're talking about like, you know, we're in the world of like dating apps where I have like 250 messages going on at the same time. I don't even know. Like I have to go back to check the number to the name and not say the wrong name to the person. Like I don't even know who I'm talking to.
You should delete all your apps. Going all the way for you is delete all your apps. What would happen if tomorrow you deleted all your apps?
I wasn't on them until like a couple weeks ago. I wasn't.
That wasn't my question.
I'd be fine.
You'd be fine?
Yeah. It's just like a distraction.
You just said it's a distraction.
Yeah, but it's also like a way to get out there and meet people. Like otherwise,
do you have trouble meeting people?
Not really.
Look, you can convince me of anything if you want. My question to you is, what do you feel will be best for you?
Not being on the apps.
That's it. You see, you know. You see, but what happens is that the Satan, it's like, we're just playing games with each other. We all know. You already knew.
So that's it. Just get off them.
But you don't want to. But you don't want to. Why don't you want to? Let's be honest by why you don't want to get off the apps. What's going to hurt inside if you get off those apps? What do you like about those apps? What's the addiction? What's the energy?
There's a little ego boost, but that's not it. It's like also just, it's just the distraction, like something, someone to message with and something going on.
So that need to have something going on is what is delaying the soulmate.
What if the soulmate is in the app?
No. Do you think the creator, doesn't have the power to bring you your soulmate just because you turned off the app? Creator, listen, I'm going to make it a little easier for you. I'm just going to message all these guys. I'm going to make your job easier. Don't worry about the creator. The creator will bring your soulmate from another country, put him on a boat, bring him right here if you've earned him. And if you haven't earned him, he could be in your home. He could be with you and you'll never jive with him. You'll never connect with him. We need to trust the creator. Don't do the creator's work for him. Trust the creator. Trust the creator. You have a follow-up? Got the mic?
My name is Nader. My question is if in the family area, not immediate family, kind of, if somebody bother you all the time and impact you and you try to be nice and all the time nice but affect you, how you want to react to that situation to get away from that hurting you?
How long has it been going on?
It's not that long. A year, 2 years.
But it's immediate family?
Huh?
Immediate family?
Yeah.
And I mean, lately they've been bothering?
It's bothered that person, yeah.
Wait, they're bothering you?
Yeah. How you react to that situation?
Well,
to
get have you found why it's bothering you?
Is that right, what they're doing? They're acting wrong.
No, that's not what we learned. We learned when they're doing something, what does it bring out in you? What is it awakening in you? What kind of weakness does it awaken in you? Or it could be mirroring you.
Hurting you by acting the way it is. And
so can you be more specific? What are they doing?
Not respected.
They're not respecting you.
Yeah, not respecting you. And anything you do that they do opposite, they talk about you. Wrong way.
So oftentimes it says that a person will come into our lives and disrespect us for one of two reasons. Number one, because we there's something wrong with our relationship with the Creator. Like, we don't have respect for our relationship with the Creator. And we could say, yeah, yeah, I have respect. We all can work harder for that relationship. But two, sometimes when things are going very well in our lives, we develop an ego that we're not aware of. And it causes us not to have the same humility that maybe we had when we were going through very tough times. So a person comes to disrespect us, to help keep our ego in check. King David used to have somebody that always followed him and said horrible things about him. This is the king, right? Imagine, you have somebody like throwing stones at King David and saying horrible things about him. And his soldiers would say, you know, you're the king. It's disrespectful to the king. Just tell me and I'll execute him immediately. King David said, no, he's from the Creator. He's there to help me with my spiritual path. Everything he says has some truth in it. And he's there to keep my humility. So it might seem random. It might seem unfair. And definitely probably the way they're doing it is wrong. But it does have a positive side effect. It's there to create humility. Would you say that you're in a place in your life where probably it's one of the best times you've ever had in your life now, today? Yeah. You would, right? Things are going well for you better than they ever had before, correct? You would say you're happier in the area of relationship and business than ever before, correct?
Yes.
With that comes ego. With that, would you say you have the same humility today that you did when you were so broken and everything wasn't going your way? No. So if you can have that humility at the same time you have that success, that makes you the most powerful human being. And in order to protect your success now, you need people who will come, throw little stones at you.
What should you do?
No. Just first appreciate. In fact, pray to the Creator and say, I hope this person never leaves. And if you do that, that's actually faster how they will exit. Well, if you start appreciating it, that's just changing your mindset about it. Change your mindset. And it's, compared to all the types of pain we can go through, that's a great pain to have, just ego pain. Let her throw stones. Every time she throws a stone, ah, I love it. Another stone, ah, I love it. Another one, oh my God, I love it. Humility, humility, humility. Great. All right, before you guys leave, take a moment and find what was the most powerful concept for you, all right, in your groups. What's your takeaway from tonight's Q&A? Please. All right, guys. Anybody want to share just any final things that was inspiring for them? What was their takeaway? Ladies, what was your takeaway? What was your... Yeah, Nikki, go for it. 1 second. Yeah, what was your takeaway tonight?
I loved everything about the relationships. It was really helpful because I focused so much on it. And especially with me, I feel like, oh, I can't just meet someone out because of my sexuality. I have to be on the apps. And it's more of like the hope. I go so many times to delete it, and I'm like, but what if, you know, next tomorrow I meet that person on there, but tonight I'm just going to delete all the apps and just focus on working on myself.
Great.
More.
I love that. And by the way, when you do stuff like that and then you see the miracle happen, you start to have a relationship with the Creator. That's the only way to have certainty in the Creator. You go, wow, I didn't need to do all this stuff and the Creator still brought it to me just by me following the rules. So every time you try this stuff out and it works, you're going to love the Creator more. That's the bottom line. You're going to be like, wow, it works. You'll see. Anything that drains you by rule, if it drains you, it probably means you need to let it go. If it's draining you, it means that it's reactive. All right, great. Well, anybody else? Want to share something? What is it?
Be the light tomorrow.
Be the light tomorrow, right? That's it. Just be the light. So simple. We make it a little more complicated. Yeah.
I thought it was very powerful, the concept of giving your 100% to whatever it is you're doing, and not just like, you know, you're working the job that sort of sucks, but yeah, I'll do it to pay things, and then, but I'm focusing, you know, 75% over here. It's that even give your 100% in that job that you don't like, and how that will create change.
Very good. Very good. Another lesson in being the light, just be 100%. Don't worry about what's going to happen after that. Anything else? It's inspiring for you? You have something? Yeah. I saw it was on the tip of your tongue.
No, Nye just made me think. I remember someone at the center once told me, like, because everyone has a concept of a 50-50 relationship, but it should actually be 100 and 100, like you were saying, because sometimes people fall short. So if you're being 100 and your partner's, you know, having a hard time, it kind of makes up for that and vice versa.
Very good. Very good. Very good. We don't meet people so they can fill, so they can be our other half. We meet people so they can be our other 100%. All right, guys. Thank you very much. We had a lot of fun tonight. I look forward to seeing you next week. All right. Thank you very much.